I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. Conrad Black, my colleague, distinguished biographer, writing an American greatness about what I, my title, the last of the anti-Trumpers. By that, Conrad, I group the never-Trumpers with the people who were against Trump in the Democratic Party and everywhere else. It would appear that the springtime weather, and it's turning excellent, the daffodils are up, have made the threats of last winter seem dated. Is that a fair generalization for what you're observing also from Toronto?
On the weather side, yes, I'm happy to say.
No, not on the weather side, on the anti-Trump side. Are they fading? Are those threats of winter fading away?
I believe so, yes. I was kind of joking. When we set our minds back to Inauguration Day, at that time was right just before that spurious impeachment, second impeachment and so forth. The incoming attorney general, Mr. Garland, said that this would be the most complicated investigation that his Justice Department would have to undertake about what happened on January 6th and the violation of the U.S. Capitol, which is complete nonsense, of course. It's not that complicated. And it's essentially a story of the utter negligence of the mayor of Washington and the Speaker of the House after they had been asked by the head of the Capitol Police to provide reinforcements. And it had nothing to do with the Trump Organization, as we now know, and as the director of the FBI confirmed when he was at the Senate a couple of weeks ago. Andrew Weissman was on television for days on end saying we have to continue the prosecution of the outgoing president. I mean, there is no prosecution of him, so there's none to continue. But the whole atmosphere was, we're going to get this guy. We're going to hound him. He did all kinds of crimes that he got away with. We will get to the bottom of it. And the never Trumpers, the anti-Trump Republicans, came out in strength from the closet they'd been in for 4 years, led by the Senate leader, Mr. McConnell, although he had a change of heart, saying this is effectively, Trump was just some dreadful meteor that roared through the sky and he's gone, and we'll go back to being the good old McCain-Romney-Bush party we were before, the party between Reagan and Trump. And all of that, I submit to you and to your listeners, has collapsed like a souffle. There is no prosecution of Trump. There's no grounds to prosecute him. Every day we see the merits of his administration in comparison to this gong show that is unfolding now, where in no representative of the administration, the president down, is capable of telling the truth about what's going on the southern border, for one thing. And this relative quiet of Trump has in this, I think the system has worked very well, and I give the present president some credit for it. It has calmed the atmosphere. The atmosphere is much less contentious.
And because of that, that would explain a deal of we're moving on. That's the way to explain it. But because of that, it appears that the former president is enjoying a awakening. He is finding a way to communicate to his constituents. The Republican Party, which concerns itself greatly with the former president, is keen on his endorsement or questions about his endorsement. That's all normal activity. It's almost as if America's returning to a pre-2016 status.
Yeah, and he is actually attaining the normal, respected status of an ex-president. I mean, as a former holder of that great office, and the American tradition, a very fine tradition it is to treat ex-presidents respectfully. Even those who left under poor circumstances, like Herbert Hoover's before our time, or Mr. Nixon, after a while they were highly regarded and well-received whenever they appeared in public. Now, in this case, of course, there is the potential of a comeback by this president, and he's made it very clear he's considering that. But in the meantime, I think they've done him a favor, although it's an outrage, by banning him from Twitter, because he did aggravate a lot of people by being in the country's face all the time, all day and all night with his tweets. I think a rest from him, as is so often the case in the old expression, makes the heart grow fonder, he looked better as time goes by.
There are themes, though, that have emerged, the border, that make the former president's policies suddenly seem attractive. I mentioned quickly that the border is now completely out of control. Any statistic I gave you would be replaced within 12 hours. It is a human tragedy, and much of it is being driven by the cartels of Mexico. At some point, either robbing or brutalizing or, in instances, murdering the immigrants who believe they can find a home in America. Certainly, Mr. Trump's answer, which was to build a wall and turn back people who had come here without documentation, was derided during the late campaign and mocked by the Democratic left for 4 years. But I think part of Mr. Trump's revival has to be that the American people suddenly have something to compare his policy with, and they know his was better than what we have now, which is no policy.
I think you must be right, John. I mean, I believe it is effectively conceded. There are 17,000 so-called unaccompanied children, and even the Huffington Post, which is a pretty scurrilous left-wing outlet, did apparently a fair bit of research, and they conclude up to 80% of these poor, desperate young people have been sexually violated on their journey to the United States. Well, the United States government is now effectively complicit with these Mexican drug and slave gangs, who must be the most wretched and morally contemptible thugs in the world. And it's a shocking state of affairs.
Because this crisis is ongoing and because immigration is a great story, I mentioned that Mr. Trump's answer was not complete. I understand. It never actually was allowed to expand itself because of the court's intervention. It is a way, however, to talk about Mr. Biden. And I always puzzle. It's just the nature of history that nobody ever looks better than when they're gone. Is that it? Could it be that simple, Conrad?
I think that's a big part of it, John. And of course, you're right. It's one of the fine things of human nature that, in general, as time passes, you remember the better things and not the worse. And in addition, here you have, as time passes, you have the ability to develop a clarity to separate policy, substantive policy questions from optics and pyrotechnics and atmospherics. I mean, there was a lot in the sort of general Trump kitsch and shtick to use a language I'm not overly familiar with, that was unappealing to a great many people. But substantively, he eliminated unemployment. He eliminated 90% of the illegal immigration. He had the wages of the income of the lower 20% of income earners rising more quickly than the top of the income earners in percentage terms for the first time, a remarkable achievement. You know, he identified the China problem without being hysterical about it. I mean, he did a lot of good things, and people are seeing that.
Conrad Black, writing in the National Post about Canada and what Conrad characterizes the victim industry of Canada. The education of Canada, for me, continues because this neighbor is now being condemned by China. And when you're condemned as a running dog, there's got to be good things to find. Got a lot of good things. Also, Conrad writing about American greatness, about the anti-Trumpers fading away with the winter winds. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.